With apologies to all concerned that I am very late. I got caught up in something that took way more time than it should have. So today I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2348. Kara, you want to describe this to us?
I'd be happy to. Madam Chair, members, 2348 is a companion piece to House Joint Resolution 7. I attached a copy of that joint resolution so you would have it for your background materials. HJR 7 is currently assigned to House Elections and Rules Committee, and a public hearing was held on March 15th. What both of these bills do is establish a lieutenant governor position for the state of Oregon. What you have in front of you, 2348, is what changes statute in the event that HJR 7 is put on the ballot and approved by voters. I think for background, you all know that we're one of the few states in Oregon that does not have a lieutenant governor position. In states that do enjoy a lieutenant governor position, that person is first in line in succession behind the governor and has an assorted group of duties depending on the particular state. Representative Lim is here, and I'll let him speak directly to all that he has lined up for this position. But again, what you're seeing is 2348 is changes statute language to allow for the position in the event that the constitutional change takes place.
Thank you, Kara. Representative Lim, and would you please come and tell us about your bill?
Okay. Good morning. Thank you very much for hearing this House Bill 2348. And for the record, my name is John Lim, House Representative from District 5050 of the Gresham area. And especially I want to thank you, Madam Chair, and members hearing of this bill. I believe this bill is very important. You are able administrator already explained and that this bill, House bill, is only effective if and when House Joint Resolution 7 passes by the people of Oregonian, because it's the constitutional change, people has to pass it. If it passes, then this bill needed to implement the duties and orders for the lieutenant governor. Oregon is one of the three states in the nation that does not have the position of a lieutenant governor. Arizona, Wyoming, and Oregon State do not have the position of lieutenant governor. All other states, including Washington, California, even Hawaii, all our neighboring states, they do have a lieutenant governor position in the government. I'm not saying others have it, we should have it. That's not the point at all. And my point is, do we need the position of lieutenant governor in our state? I firmly believe it's about time we need to have a lieutenant governor. The reason why our state will be shooting for 4 million people in the next 10 years, and in next 20 years or so, our state will become 5 million population. Right now, we have 3.5 or 3.6. And our state deeply depend on international trade. Our state export about $11 billion a year around the world, mostly Pacific Rim countries. We are more dependent in international trade. Many people, that the dignitaries from out of state, out of country, coming to our state, hopefully to meet the chief executive of our state, governor, and simply governor, many of the times are not available. he's scheduled, the scheduled maybe several months earlier, and his schedule just cannot permit anyone coming to our state to meet the governor. When the dignitaries and the business leaders come to our state around the world, especially from the Pacific Rim country, it is their great honor that the meeting the governor of our state, and simply governor is not available. Usually in Asia, that the business psychology begins with personal relationship. And when we don't have that relationship and the communication with the top leader of our state, chances are we are not going to get the majority of the trade. And even governor last year sometime, I believe it's in November, was going to go to Japan and Korea. Governor was going to go. And then one day before his departure, governor canceled the trip. And Japan and Korea, they were preparing, the welcoming, having a great reception with many other business leaders. But the governor was not able to go because one of our own soldiers in Iraq has been killed. And he had to attend that meeting. And rightfully so, and I agree with the governor. But in that cases, if the governor was not able to go, at least the position second after a governor, lieutenant governor, might be able to go to Japan and Korea or any other country in place of the governor. I believe I tried last two sessions trying to create the position of lieutenant governor. And it's passed in the Senate, but I was not able to pass this bill in the House because most of the House controlled by the Republican colleague, they don't want to expand any more government, they believe in smaller government. And then why should we spend more tax dollars for another position? I think I became wiser since then. So the 2348 bill says that the lieutenant governor will not spend any other dollar at all. No money needed, only he will be in charge of international trade division. So simply one position is eliminated, and this, when he or she is elected to the lieutenant governor, that person will be in charge of international trade division located in Portland area. So I think with that way, no tax dollars are spent, and then the international trade is about 30% of our total economy, and when the lieutenant governor was in charge of international trade, and we elevated our position in the worldwide arena of international trade, and then the lieutenant governor shall be able to travel a trade mission, promote the tourism, and I think this is timely. I believe with this 2348, when SJR 7 implemented, I think it is timely, and it is not someone else's that I'm trying to create a position, but I'm trying to create the position of a lieutenant governor for the state of Oregon, for the prosperity of our state and the country, and for the future of our children. So that 2348, it looks like a fairly good size, but it is a very simple bill. And just to clean up the statutory changes, and the lieutenant governor will be the second in command, and then he will be elected one of the six statewide elected office, and then he cannot be employed after 1 year his termination of lieutenant governor, during the time when he has a direct economic relationships, then the lieutenant governor cannot be employed with the company he has been dealt with when he was a lieutenant governor. And then he will be the director of international trade division, and then his salary will be the same like the Secretary of State. So I will be open any questions if you have on this 2348, and I do appreciate Madam Chair and members of the committee to pass this bill as soon as possible so we can start work on this issue.
Questions? Yes, Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Representative Lim, you're taking the monies for the salary of this individual out of economic development. Is that what you're proposing out of the budget?
Yes. Currently, we have International Trade Division under the Oregon Economic Development Department, and the person is already vacant at this time. As soon as I introduced this bill, the person resigned. He knew his position was going to go, so it's currently the position is vacant, and then whenever we elect this person, will be in charge. So there will be no additional revenues needed to create this position.
Representative Buckle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, do you have any concern about politicizing international trade for the state? If the lieutenant governor is an elected position, can you foresee any negative consequences with having that person have to go through a campaign in which campaign contributions come in from different sources, trying to sway that person's point of view once elected to favor trade with one country or another? Can a elected official truly be seen as a bipartisan representative of the state of Oregon in international trade?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Buckley, I think you raised a very important question. And since our state, we cannot accept any donations from the other countries, and other than the American citizen or legally permanent citizen living in the United States, that's the only way we can have a donation for the political matter. This will enhance our status in the international trade arena. By the elected position, the second man in the government, and when the traveling deeply respected, the chances are we are going to increase trade, and we are going to create more jobs. I think this is a win-win situation. So I don't see, maybe there might be some negative impact, but I believe there might be more benefit than negative. In that cases, it will be more positive for the state, creating jobs and creating more tourism and international trade. I believe this is a good thing, and it's timely.
Yeah,
so I'm just thinking about some scenarios in my head. You have Governor Kulongoski and Lieutenant Governor Mannix. And Lieutenant Governor Mannix has a different agenda and perhaps wants to be the governor. And I perhaps it's reiterating a bit what Representative Buckley said, but I guess my concern is with ambition and a desire perhaps to be the governor, and perhaps the governor and the lieutenant governor being of different parties and different philosophies and ideologies, what impact would that have? And then also, what's the relationship between the lieutenant governor and the legislative assembly?
All right, let me answer the last question first, Madam Chair Berger and Representative Galizio. I drafted the way that if we have the chance to pass this in the House, also it's got to pass in the Senate, especially that the HJR 7 and also this bill. Many of the states, that the lieutenant governor is the presider of the Senate. He's the president of the Senate. And the way I have written, I didn't do that. If I do that, those prospect president of the Senate, they might not support this bill because they are losing their position. So I left it out, and so lieutenant governor will be the lieutenant governor, has nothing to do with that legislature at all. I believe there should be a clear separation of the judiciary and executive and the legislative. And if some other states or even United States Senate, the vice president presiding of the Senate, actually the person is exercising legislative power. When there's a tie, then the person can break the tie. It is a legislative action, and I don't believe that is the best way to do. And so I created a way that the lieutenant governor stayed out of the legislative process. The second, lieutenant governor doesn't have to run by the same party ticket. And lieutenant governor, the way it's written, is as running as an independent. Right now, in our state, we have more than 23% independent. Not belong to Republican, not belong to Democrat. People begin to see too much party bickerings in the legislature. And I believe it is time at least to show the lieutenant governor personally, the person might belong to a certain party, but that the person has to run as an independent. It shows willing to work with any party, and the lieutenant governor might be able to be a good position, compromising in the executive, possibly, and legislators. Even the executive branches, the person might be able to work well with the governor. But I believe the wisdom of the Oregonian, when they elect the lieutenant governor, and the people is wise enough to elect a person who can work with the governor well. If if there are too much disagreement in the executive government, I don't believe that's the best things for our state. So that's the way the HJR 7 is written, that the lieutenant governor has to run as an independent.
Representative Lynn, a couple comments and maybe thoughts. As someone who's traveled overseas in Asia and in Europe as a part of a delegation, I certainly agree with you that Americans do a very poor job by comparison when it comes to being respectful and hospitable to dignitaries when they travel or we travel. I've been a dignitary in Asia and, you know, minor, not anything like a lieutenant governor, but been treated with such incredible hospitality and respect. And then I realized that if those same people came to Oregon, it would be an embarrassment by comparison. And I'm bothered by that. But that's in some ways some cultural differences that we aren't going to solve in any simple way, except by sort of increasing our own cultural competency. But would not the same sort of goal be achieved, less politically charged, by this governor or any governor making international trade such an important piece of the administration that they actually appoint a deputy for international trade and give them sort of the weight of the office of governor? And it may not, and I know the title of lieutenant governor carries great weight, but if the governor confers sort of great weight to that position, wouldn't it serve sort of the similar purpose without creating this sort of political entity around a lieutenant governor?
I think that's a very valid point. First comment, Madam Chair, you made concerning the delegation and going to other countries, especially Asia, I can guarantee you will be treated like a king.
Exactly.
Or a queen, if a lady goes. And, but when they come over here, we don't treat them.
It's embarrassing.
Maybe it is an embarrassment, but adding insult to injury, when they try to meet the governor or high officials, simply is not, they are not available. And so when they come over here, they are very unhappy. So especially since I'm from Korea, when the Korean delegation high officials coming over here, I have to entertain with my time and with my money, and I take them around to show, at least from my personal point of view, if the state couldn't do it, then at least it's my duty and my obligation. I'm continue to do that as a personally appointed as a goodwill ambassador, and I try to show our state is a hospitable and good place to stay. And so far that has been working. But in return, we need to respectfully treat them when they come over here. Sometimes I have heard some complaint from them, but they don't try to be courteous, not to make too much fuss at point. In Asian mind, elected officials are highly respected. The governor could appoint someone that the high-ranking and respected person to delegate a trade mission, but the person is not the second in command, and the lieutenant governor is in second in command. And he is in charge of international trade division. And then with the lieutenant governor is not standing alone. He has to do the duties as governor asks him or her to do. So actually lieutenant governor is the delegation, not only from our state, actually from the governor also. So I believe lieutenant governor might be a really good place and the best person to deal international trade.
Representative Escobar, you had a question?
Yes, Representative Lim, as you know, I've made trade missions to Japan and Korea on behalf of Southern Oregon, and you bring up a very good point in the aspect that it's such a ceremonial ordeal. I remember going into Incheon, and it was all ceremony. Everything was done with the utmost respect according to your office. And same when we would have the reciprocating visits from Incheon, it was the same way. I mean, it's all structured. And unless you've been there, you don't fully understand what an emphasis is put on this structure. So I do recognize what you're saying, sir.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and Representative Escobar. I introduce a resolution that this fall we are going to go a trade mission to Asia, such as Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and China. These four countries are our major partners. And we can go the trade mission as we want to, but I'm formally introduce a resolution to send our trade delegation to Asia. I hope many of you can join us. And usually Asian countries, when the delegation come over there, they are coming with a lot of funds and paid by the government, and they don't have to spend any money. But unfortunately, our trade mission, usually we have to pay from our own pocket. But we might be able to, small funds might be available in case if we have to have some kind of a reception in each respective country, then we might be able to use small public funds. Otherwise, this is mostly self-paid trade mission. So we are going to do that. And when you go, you will understand the psychology and structure and the trade we are dealing with. And China is emerging one of the great trading partners. Used to be 7-8. Right now, China has emerged the number 4. Number 1 is Japan, 2 is Canada, and the 3rd Korea. Yeah. And now China has became the 4th trade partner. And with this trade mission, we shall be able to increase friendship and trade, and possibly in the future, economic benefit for our state.
Thank you, Representative Lim, for your proposal. I and particularly thank you for all you've done personally on behalf of international trade and particularly with Asia. I know that you are correct. People sometimes come over here and misunderstand sort of the way we do things here, and it appears rude when we don't intend to be, and you've gone a long ways to try and mitigate some of that and
thank you very much.
Cross-culturally keep us from being at odds. I'm going to close. Please stay in the chair because I'm going to close this public hearing on House Bill 2348 and open a public hearing on House Joint Resolution 16, which also has your name on it. And so, with your permission, why don't we talk about this for a few minutes?
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, can I call the Carol Suzuki to join me? And she is the Chair of the Commission on Asian Affairs.
Welcome.
I have a written testimony on this HJR resolution, and I'm going to read out of it, and then after that, chairperson of the Commission on Asian Affairs, she might be able to give some additional information. HJR 17 designate Lunar Day as, did I pronounce correctly, Lunar or not?
Lunar.
Lunar, okay. Mm-hmm. As Oregon's Asian American Day. Asian Americans number more than 1.9 million in the U.S. and represent more than 30 different nationalities and ethnic groups. There are currently about 107,000 Asian Americans living in Oregon. From the early 1800s to the 21st century, Asian and Pacific people have played a vital role in the development of the United States and made a lasting contribution in all elements of American society. Science, literature, arts, music, education, information technology, religion, politics, and medical discoveries, and many more. Most of the first Chinese immigrants arrived in the United States during the California Gold Rush, which is 1949-1950, and then were then recruited as a major source of labor in the economic development of Western frontier. With the passage of Chinese Exclusion Act of 1982, Congress restricted the immigration of Chinese laborers and prohibited Chinese immigrant already in this country from becoming American citizen. Upon arrival at Angel Island, Chinese and other Asian immigrants were held in detention barrack for weeks or months until their paperwork was approved. The Chinese Exclusion Act was repealed in 1943 when China became an ally of the United States during World War II. Driven by sustained immigration and refugee resettlement during 1970s and 1980s, Asian Americans have emerged as the nation's fastest growing racial group. Given that school-age Asian American population doubled in the 1980s and is expected to double again between 1990s and 2020. Our schools and larger society must confront some critical questions. For example, what do we know and what can we teach and learn about Asian Americans? During the first two decades of the 20th century, Japanese immigrants were able to move to the United States without any restriction. However, in 1923, in the case of Ozawa versus United States, Supreme Court ruled Japanese were ineligible for naturalization. This ruling led to the Immigration Act of 1924, which virtually prohibited Japanese immigration. Once again, Asian refugees and immigrants share many experiences in common with other immigrants, such as language barrier, culture shock, racial discrimination, and the challenge of starting new lives. Themes of work, family responsibility, generational change, community development, and investment in education is common among most, if not all, Asian Americans and current immigration. And I urge your support on HJR 16, and thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Representative Lim.
Any questions if you have?
Let's hear from Ms. Suzuki. Okay.
Chair Berger and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify on HJR 16. For the record, my name is Carol Suzuki. I reside in Salem, Oregon, and serve as chair of Oregon's Commission on Asian Affairs. I'm a third-generation Japanese-American. I'm here in support of recognizing the Lunar New Year as Oregon's Asian American Day. The Lunar New Year, or New Year, is the most significant celebration for Asians and East Asians throughout the world. In my Japanese American family, we basically clean our house from top to bottom. In the weeks leading up to New Year's, and what that does, it sweeps out the bad energy, the bad spirits, so you know, the bad luck that you may have had or misfortunes you may have had, and then we, in preparation, also have a huge dinner with a significant food representing good health, longevity, and luck. And at midnight, before New Year's, we open the doors to let the good spirits in, and then to bring in the good luck and the good spirits and hopefully good fortune for the coming year. So, and then sometimes we set off some firecrackers if we've got anything left over from the 4th of July. I guess my point is that that's how we celebrate it, but then there are a variety of ways that people in Asia and East Asia celebrate this throughout the world. And, for example, in Korea, it's a much more subdued affair than the Chinese celebrations, which feature dragon dances, and, you know, it's just more elaborate. For example, for the Hmong, it's a month-long vacation, and it's a matchmaking fest. In Thailand, New Year festivities include a water sprinkling ritual. And so many countries interpret the lunar calendar differently, or use the solar system, and so the dates of the celebrations vary as well. In India, the Diwali falls in late October or early November. For Cambodians, this happens in mid-April. And then in Japan, we celebrate it on January 1st, like here in the United States. So despite a number of differences, there's one common theme that takes center stage for all Asian New Year celebrations, and that's family. No matter what the country, religion, or race, New Year's Day is a time for family reunions, gatherings, remembrance of those who have passed away, reflection, and reaffirming bonds. And so I hope you will support and pass HJR 16. I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you both. We're talking about this cultural competency and understanding. Ms. Suzuki, would we be offending someone? The danger, you've just commented that the Asian Lunar New Year is sort of flexible,
right,
as to when it falls. We've had experience in this country. We used to celebrate all the president's individual birthdays, and now they kind of got melded together and forgotten. Is there danger in heightening one of these Lunar New Years to a special day, that you're going to lose some of that sort of the fun of your own special Lunar New Year? Do you understand my question?
I do. I've thought about this myself. I mean, simply because in my family, we just celebrated on January 1st.
Right.
But that was because of the shift from the solar to the lunar New Year celebrations years ago. I think, you know, the United States has adopted a number of days somewhat. I mean, if you think about Cinco de Mayo or Kwanzaa. I mean, just different things. And I think that the Lunar New Year would be an appropriate day to honor Asian Americans in general. I don't believe that there is any particular day. There's a month, Asian Heritage Month, which is May. But, you know, as a Japanese American, I am not offended that the Lunar New Year is something that's celebrated by the Korean, the Vietnamese, the Chinese, and, you know, several other cultures. So from my perspective, I would not be offended. But I certainly don't speak for all Asian groups.
Okay. If I add that even though look like all Asian Americans, Yes, their origins are more than 30 different countries, speaking different languages, a distinct culture, even though we all look like they're all different. And then I believe it's about time to bring them together at least once a year. It is not required for them to come. Maybe at this special Asian day, maybe at Commissioner on Asian Affairs, they might be functioning as a governing body, and they don't have to come if they want to, but if they believe it is a good thing, they can come and celebrate it together. To me, as a Korean American heritage, I believe January 1st is a very important day, because as soon as you become January 1st, you become a 1 year old or older. So since I was born in lunar calendar December 23rd, in 7 days I became 2 years. And so that was the culture of my country, and especially January 1st, you have to visit your parents, the bow, the New Year celebration, bowing ceremony, and also you visit your grandpa and grandma and the neighbors, elderly people. Every children visit neighbors, elderly people to greet them. And it has been more than 5,000 years of history. And so this is the time of renewing respect the elderly, and the family get together, many foods, and plus many other funds. This is the time that the family gets together. I believe this will bring goodness to the Asian community, when Asian community prosper, and also our state will prosper, even our country.
Thank you. And I will tell you that the older I get, the more I like that tradition about showing respect for
Thank
you. Representative Sumner.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I agree with what you just said. Could you tell me, Mr. Lim, Ms. Suzuki, is there any sort of religious significance or factor in the Lunar New Year? Is there a particular component of religion?
Not particularly. I mean, I think he's... you know, when I speak about spirit, good spirits and bad spirits, I mean, there isn't any kind of religion that's really tied to, for example, in Japan, you might visit a Buddhist or Shinto temple. You might ring a bell. I mean, there really isn't that much of a religious, in my experience, a religious component, I guess.
Okay. In Korea, there is no religious connotations, but under the influence of Confucianism, and usually before we start sharing food, and we display some lots of food on the table, and all the family come together, and then we bow to in respect of our ancestors for their blessings and for their guidance in the past. Many of the Koreans in the past, they believe the blessings comes from their ancestral worship. If you call it religion, maybe it could be a part of implication of religion, but what we are doing in our state is not any religious implication, only a social gathering for the Asian Americans.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So then it would more closely relate American Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
And American.
Yes.
Yes. I got it.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you.
Further, may I add something? As through my work with the Commission on Asian Affairs, in years past, I have requested from the governor's office a proclamation recognizing Lunar New Year, and both governors Kitzhaber and Kulongoski have provided that. And so that's another way that we have in the past honored the Lunar New Year. And the proclamations were all-encompassing in terms of Asian cultures. It didn't focus on just the Chinese or the Vietnamese or anything like that.
That Has this been introduced in previous House joint resolution in previous sessions?
I don't believe so.
This is the first time.
Okay.
But I was responsible to creating the Commission on Asian Affairs.
Okay.
And also the May as Asian American Heritage Heritage Week, third week of May.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming. And I'm going to close public hearing on House Joint Resolution 16. Committee members, before we adjourn, I'd like Kara to go over Thursday's, the packet on Thursday. And thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, I've given you all I'll pack it in your information today, and I'll copy this to your staff as well, because I know paper gets lost between here and your offices.
No.
Yeah, I've heard that. There's a vortex out in the hallway, and it sucks it in. The arrangements I have made for you is those of us who are traveling from out of town. You have a hotel room reserved at the Rogue Regency Inn. We have dinner at 5 at Porter's, and our meeting is at 7. There are maps to all of those places attached to your packet. And I'm sure that the local representatives will tell us if our maps are wrong, Jimmy.
Everybody knows how to get to the Rogue Regency.
And we are excused from floor session the next.
There is no floor session on Friday.
No, that's right. So we're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and you were excused, but there's no floor session, so it's kind of like belts and suspenders going on Friday. As far as travel, that's the one thing we do need to discuss. Representatives Whit Galizio, Cameron, and our chair, and Pat Allen, who's out in the audience, is going to join us, so we need to talk about that. I've reserved cars. I know you're thinking about driving your own. I understand from staff that Representatives Esquivel and Buckley, you want to drive your own car since you'll be at home for the weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worrying about transportation for the two of you.
Friends and neighbors, I don't do well in vans. I'm either driving in the front seat of somebody else's car or driving my own. Those are your options for the chair. And I don't why don't we sort of communicate with my office as to who's going, what your schedules are, and try and line up cars through my office for those who are not going in a van, which is leaving at 11 o'clock. That's a stretch for us because of floor session.
Yeah. What about on the way back?
Well,
you know what time?
That really would be up to the carpool group. That's the other part that we need to negotiate.
Time you want to come back? First thing in the morning?
I do. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, and that's when I. Okay. The sooner the better.
I can represent.
That's not his thing, yeah.
Madam Chair, I can drive. The four of us, we want to. It's just the four of us, right?
Okay, we can discuss this later. I just wanted to make sure that this.
Please, that'd be great.
We know how to get there. No.
Okay,
Stay an extra day and play.
What are you, the lieutenant governor?
All right, I'm gonna close this session of the House.